back to the book of Matthew chapter number 6 as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday mornings. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 9 through 11 today. 9 through 11. And we're going to talk about our radical dependence on God. We're in this radical reaction series, the radical dependence on God. And you have to ask yourself, is my dependence on God radical? I mean, do I depend on God for everything? Or just the things I can't do myself? Or do I depend on God at all?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Here's our verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for our daily dependence on you. We thank you for showing up in our lives this morning by the very fact that we woke up and had a desire to come to God's house. And we could have been on the lake. We could have been on the golf course. We just could have been at home spreading mulch. But we're in God's house and we want to hear from you. We want to fellowship with believers. We just want to be in your presence and to give you glory and honor and praise just one more day. Father, thank you for those that are sick and shed in that want to be here, that can't be. Father God, we pray that you will return them to us, that we can just lay our eyes on them and give them a hug and a kiss and then let them know that we love them. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for the Word of God, especially. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A radical dependence on God. We've looked at this sermon that Jesus is preaching to believers. Now, you know, I make no apology, but you know, when you come to God's house, you ought to hear a message that's really prepared for those who believe. Okay, we're here today to hear from God, to hear from our Father who art in heaven, and get some instructions and get some power to get to go out into this crazy world. And to give God glory, which is difficult. And it's getting harder and harder for men and women of God to stand. Because the world is so opposed to anything Christian or godly. But we looked at the first part of it. He says, He is our exalted Father. We call Him our Father. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father, which art in heaven. So we're talking about our Father who runs everything, who's in charge of everything, who's in total control, and we can call out His name, our Father.
Amen.
And then we're taught to pray for His glory. We want to honor Him. And then when I hear folks pray, and we always want to honor the Father as in charge. Recognize who's in charge. And then we want to give Him glory. We say, Thy kingdom come. We recognize Him as a Father with a kingdom that's in large and in charge. He's in charge. And we recognize that, like the thief on the cross said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And that's the essence of what we're praying. We say, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, we know you're a king. Not because the sign is over your head, we know you're a king. And when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Then we say that we want not only His kingdom to come, we want His will to be done. And we talked about it last week. What is His will? What is God's will that He wants done, that we should pray that's done when we look at our fallen country?
Amen.
When we see folks burying loved ones that don't have a clue where their loved ones is going. We ought to pray, God, that Thy will be done, that folks will be saved, that folks will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I know it's radical, but we serve a radical God.
Yeah.
Amen. We know when we serve a God that says, listen, I am the only way to heaven. Say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And I know that's radical. That's hard. That's troublesome to a lot of us. That's really saying, you know what, we got some friends and family folks that right now lost, separated from God. You know, I went to work Thursday, did the unthinkable, got about 20 miles in and realized I did not have my cell phone. Too far to turn back. It's like the song says, too late to turn back now.
Amen.
Now, it didn't bother me going to work, but on the way home, my first call normally is to Cindy. I'm going to call Cindy and check on her, make sure they ain't tied her up and kidnapped her. But I realized I was separated. I had no lines of communication to call her. And I got an hour and 10-minute drive. Now imagine, you are separated from God. You have no way of contacting Him. You have no way of asking Him. You have no way of saying, Our Father. Imagine you saying that and Him saying, I never knew you. See, we sing Jesus is on the main line. Tell Him what you want. But you gotta make sure you're on the main line too. But there's a lot of lines. There's a lot of lines out there. And there's a whole lot of little gods out there. But we need to make sure that we're on the main line. He is our Father who art in heaven. And we have a direct line to Him. Not like me on last Thursday. Couldn't call home. I spiritualized everything so y'all understand.
Amen.
So he says in verse number 11, and this is where we're going to rest our hat. He said, give us. And this is the prayer. He didn't say, give me. Okay? He said, give us. So when we stand before God in prayer, and I hope by the time we finish this series, everybody's prayer life will be better and stronger. We'll have a good understanding of what it means to stand and pray for your peoples. He said, give us, all of us, give us this day our daily bread. Now, when the Israelites was in the wilderness, the manna came down from heaven. And manna was that form of bread that came down from heaven, and you were only allowed to get a day's portion. You were only allowed to collect enough to last you for one day. Now, if you collected enough to last you, say, you know how we would have done. Okay? Y'all know how y'all do. Y'all go to Golden Corral. No, you ain't supposed to take nothing out. So if you took more manna, if you took enough manna to last you for 2 days, that manna would start boiling or stinking or stanking. And it stank so bad. Everybody knew. Everybody in the camp would know. Okay? It's like this morning coming to work. I coming to church, rather. And I know Cindy passed the same way. You see that big old skunk? Big old skunk right there in the middle of Logan Avenue. And when I seen it, I said, that's all white. That's going to be bad because it looked fresh. And I rolled past it, and I thought about this manna. Now imagine you took this manna in your little tent because you want to, you know, eat later on tonight. Or you want to have enough for tomorrow. It's going to start stinking. So Jesus here says, I am that bread from heaven. Okay? So in this verse here, the Jesus is teaching how to pray. He's saying, give us this day. Enough for this day. See, many of us in here want enough. We want enough for 2030. Okay? We want enough for 20 years from now. We work hard on our retirement plan and we work hard on collecting and saving, and we got rainy day funds, we got IRAs, we got money. We just hold on to it. Some of us. Few of us. Couple of us. What Jesus saying? He said, listen, what you need, we start talking about this bread. What you need, this is spiritual bread. Amen. Well, no, we're not talking about Panera's or Swables. I know. Yeah. This is spiritual bread. And as a man of God, as a woman of God, you need enough for the day. See, some of us in here today going through some stuff. Some of us in here today going to deal with some stuff that they need the Lord. Now, when I looked up daily and the things that we ought to do daily as people of God, just to survive, what we need to do daily, because there's got to be a plan for your life. You can't sit here and say, well, give me enough for 3 weeks from now, because you know what's going to happen. It's happening already. See, some of us, we got enough. We got enough stored up. We don't need to come to Sunday school. We don't need to go to Bible study. We can go to church once, twice a month. That's enough. Because we got enough to last us. Let me say this. If not growing, you're backsliding. If you're not growing, you're going backwards. There's no, well, I'm in a holding pattern. See, we got a lot of Christians that say they're in a holding pattern. Right now, I'm just in a holding pattern. No? You either growing in grace and faith and mercy and love, or you are going backwards. Okay? Satan ain't going to let you just be idle. He's not that kind of devil. I'm going to talk about him a little bit today. Listen, how many know what a burnt offering is? A burnt offering, when they would bring that offering to the Lord or to the priest, and the priest would burn the whole thing for that sinner. That sinner would bring that offering, whether it was a lamb or a bull, and he would burn the whole thing. And it was symbolic. The symbolic meaning behind that is when that sinner did that, he said, I am giving to you my everything. And they did that sometimes daily. They did it sometimes daily. And I'm looking at my text and I don't have that text. Yes, I do. Numbers 29 and 6. They offered a daily burnt offering. How about you? You wake up this morning. Does it cross your mind to say, you know what? I'm going to give the Lord my everything today. I'm going to be that 1 Corinthians 10:31 believer today. And everything I eat, drink, and do, I'm going to do it to glorify you. I'm going to glorify you in the way I worship today, in the way I praise today, and in my relationships with others. I'm going to see some family members I may not have seen in a few years or whatever. I may see some folks that I don't even get along with, but you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to give you glory today. I can't worry about tomorrow, see? Tomorrow not promised. And see, the devil wants you to forget about today, worry about tomorrow. Okay? No, see, God is a daily God. We have to serve Him daily. Okay? Satan say, oh, listen, don't forgive them today. Do it next week. Okay? Do it 2 weeks from now. You know, you ain't in the right mood. No. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Somebody said that. I believe Deacon Jeremy said that. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. They know that. And then, you know what? Tomorrow leads to another tomorrow, and another tomorrow, and another tomorrow, and then... Listen. That offering did something else. When they burn that offering, and you ever see somebody barbecuing? I used to barbecue. Still do. Neighbors be out smelling. Especially when we live in Mineral Ridge. My neighbors come over. And they, you know, I always had to give them something, make them something. But they come over. Because that meat had a sweet, sweet savor about it. It just flowed through the community. So when somebody would bring a burnt offering, everybody would know, because that's like that stink from the manna would go through the community. That sweet smelling savor would go through the community. And then when they would say, who offered that? Who offered that? Oh, that was that Lori Dunleavy. Now they're going to watch you. Make sure you gave it up. Are you serious about it? People watching us. We don't like to admit it, but folk watching us. Faultfinders.com. They look at it, and they're not watching us to see the good we do. They're not. They're watching us because they want to critique us. Listen. Here's Paul. Now this is amazing. I always think this is amazing when I talk about Paul and when he wrote these prison epistles. He was in prison, writing to folks that was free. Now watch what he's saying. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And in Ephesians 5:2, he says this, and I thought this was unique because Paul's locked up. We know from Ephesians chapter 4, Paul didn't care about being locked up. Wherever he was at, he was going to give glory to God. Paul said, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Okay, when Paul was in prison, he wasn't a prisoner of Rome. Okay, he was a prisoner of the Lord. Now, he's locked up, and he's getting a report from what's going on in the church, and here's free folks. Folks that's going to picnic today after church, and folks got, you know, family over, they cooking out, and it's just a beautiful day. They're going to graduation parties and everything, and Paul's been locked up in a Roman jail. And he writes this and says, and walk in love. How about that? How about you get in the prison a letter from somebody locked up? You free, disgruntled, got a chip on your shoulder, got an attitude, murmuring and complaining about everything, got a steak in one arm, a loaf of bread in the other. And complaining because you don't have A1 sauce. And Paul says to these free folks, walk in love, as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know who I was talking to. I talked to a lot of people this week. Not Claire, because she even got on me already. But here's what love looks like. Somebody said, what does love look like? Oh, look at them, they holding hands. Oh, he got his head on her shoulder. Oh, she got his head on her shoulder. They must be in love. That ain't love. Amen. Let me tell you what love look like. That's what love look like. That's what love look like. Folks don't understand, hear what love look like. And then they spit on him. And they put the crown of thorns on his head, and then they nailed him to the cross, and then they stuck a rod through his side, and then they buried him. And you know what Paul says? He says, he was a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So somebody, what is love? It just don't flow naturally. Some folks will walk away from a relationship, walk away from a marriage, because it just ain't flowing. It just ain't flowing. Let me tell you, because love is work. Love is work. Love is energy. Love is effort. Love costs you something. It just don't flow. If it's flowing free, it's probably lust. Okay? Never mind. Let's keep going. My girl. Let's talk about this daily worship one more time. Because see, we talk about daily bread, and there's some things we need to really do on a daily basis. We need to do them on a daily basis, and this is for saved folks. So saved folks gonna do this on a daily basis. I'm gonna praise the Lord daily. Yeah, amen. Daily. And if you got breath in you, you can do this. And you ask yourself, look at tomorrow. Look at yesterday. Did you praise the Lord yesterday? Seriously. That's for you. And the things that you did, and the people that you came into contact with, the situation you may have found yourself in, did you give God praise? That's for you. I wasn't with you. I know what I was doing, and I worked hard yesterday to give God praise, and it was a difficult day, but I still was able to prayerfully worship God. David was a king. David didn't have no wants. He had money. He had cattle. He had everything. God took care of David. God called David a man after my own heart. And sometimes you wonder why. Why did God say that? Listen to David's prayer. In Psalm 72:15, here's his David praying. He says, "And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him," how David, "continually, and daily shall he be praised." Daily he should be praised. So you go to the picnic this afternoon, wherever you go, take your praise for God with you. Amen. Folks need to hear it. See, we sometimes don't think that. We say, well, they don't want to hear it. You know, they so far caught up in sin. They getting high. They smoking dope. They doing whatever. They are perfect candidates to hear the gospel. Think about where you was at when you heard it.
Amen.
See, we sometimes forget where we was called from. Uh-huh. And we don't want to call nobody else. Well, listen. The Word of God said he called us where? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. And God used us to be that light. David again in Psalm 61:8 said, "So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." How about that? David was busy about praising the Lord. He had a right to be. This is Psalm 61. Psalm 72. What did God do for David? Remember Psalm 51? David said, "Listen, create me what? A clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. Purge me with hyssop." God did all that. And if you saved today, God's done all that for you. And you have just as much of a responsibility to praise the Lord as David did. David did. Listen, Psalm 86. 1-5, I'm going to go 5. And I'm not going to sit here and try to even explain it. It's self-explanatory. Here's David. King David, I ought to say. King David. Not a need in the world. Not a concern in the world. He didn't have no car payments, house payments, nothing. He says this. Now this is a king talking. See, some of us have a hard time. Some of us see Jake bow down and pray like, this doesn't take all that. Okay? Does it take... Yeah, listen, let me tell you something. If David bowed down,
amen,
Jake ought to lay prostrate.
Yes.
He wouldn't be doing too much.
Amen.
Psalms 86, David says this. He says, bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear me. Hear me. Hear me. For I am poor and needy. He wasn't poor financially. And he probably wasn't in his own mind. He probably wasn't what we would consider poor spiritually. But without God, without that daily contact with God, that daily communication with God, David went to God as a poor man. He said, "For I am poor and needy." Needy of what? Needy of your fellowship. Needy of your counsel. Needy of your wisdom. Needy of your love. Needy of your mercy. Needy of your grace. And we all are. We all are. We may not think we are. We may think we got it all together. And we think we just walking on cloud nine. But let me tell you something. You are poor. And you are needy. And you are in dire straits. You need the Lord. I don't care how good you may think you have it. Here's David saying, "Preserve my soul." He's asking for divine protection. Because he knows trouble is coming.
Amen.
For I am holy. Well, if you're holy, why do you need all these things? No, David was not unholy. He was holy. And the holier you are, the more grace you need. The more protection you need. The more mercy you need. The more love of God you need. The holier you get, the holier your walk gets, the more you need God. The more you need God. He says, save thy servant. Save thy servant. And that trusteth in thee. Here's our verse. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. For I cry unto thee daily. Give us this day our daily bread. David's asking for daily bread there. And you know what that bread consists of? Grace. Mercy. Protection. How about you? How's your daily bread? How's your daily bread? Keep going, Pastor. Listen. You know, I couldn't go along without this one. Just protection. Alertness. I don't think we live in a day and age right now where folks just ain't alert. Folks just ain't paying attention. Folks just don't know really what's going on. And they're walking around like sheep headed to the slaughter. There's an alertness, there's a watching, there's a vigilance that we ought to have as believers.
Amen.
Okay? Nothing ought to be sneaking up on us.
Uh-huh.
And we ought to be getting into certain situations, because if we're walking close with the Lord, certain places we're not going to walk to. The Lord will weed your garden. People say, well, if I come to the Lord, I can say, what do I have to do? You don't have to do nothing.
Amen.
See, all you have to do is walk with the Lord.
Amen.
I was thinking about this. We talking about the men. We was talking about some of the old songs. One of the ones that we sang all the time. And one of the ones I really knew. I still wrote it down. It was us asking God to walk with us. The song went like, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me.
Amen.
And it says, all along this tedious journey, I want Jesus to do what? Walk with me. Then he goes, hold my hand, Lord. Why? Because when you got your little children, you little babies, and they run into a situation where you may be close to the street or close to a situation you're not comfortable with, what do? You grab their hands. Young children love holding their parents' hands. And we ought to love holding the Lord's hands as children, because we're not bad enough or big enough or strong enough to deal with this stuff. So we say, hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. Listen. Are you dependent on the Lord? Are you dependent on the Lord daily? This is daily bread. When you hear this again, daily bread. Am I dependent on the Lord, or I'm making decisions? I'm a shot caller in my family. And I go to the Lord in prayer, but if they don't get the answer I want, I do what I want to do. If he say no, I say yes. And that's a lot of how we answer prayer.
Amen.
God will say, no, they don't need to do that. Well, I want to do it. Well, if you want to do it, do it. God ain't going to get in your way. Okay? But there's a watching that goes on. There's a watching that goes on. The Word of God says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You know what he's saying? Except that brother can't wait till Sunday school come, the Bible studies come, chance to come together and hear from God, or morning devotion. You may have a radio station to come on, whether it's 8:30, 9 o'clock. Maybe it's somebody you listening to that you listen to seriously and faithfully. Because you know you need wisdom. You know you need strength. You know you need divine alertness. How about that? Divine alertness. Watch this. Y'all remember Peter? Peter thought he had it all together. And then somebody said he had foot and mouth disease. He was facing stuff. And Jesus had to correct him. One time he told Peter, he said, Peter, listen, get behind me, Satan. Because see, Satan wants Peter. And if you really serious about following the Lord, serious about the things of God, Satan wants you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Whether you're a deacon, whether you're a trustee, whether you're a music director, choir member, usher, don't matter. You working for the Lord, Satan got something for you. Okay? He do. You got big plans, Satan got big plans. Watch this. Luke 22 and 31. Says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, behold, watch out. Satan have desired to have you. What do you make bread out of? That he may sift you as wheat. See, we don't like to think that. Satan may be stopping you. Sometimes you're like, I don't have no desire for the things of God like I used to. I don't have no plans. I don't have my energy. Maybe Satan got you. Okay? See, remember when Paul hit the island of Malta, they was building a fire. They built a fire and Paul was putting some wood on the fire. He could have been sitting back like and saying, listen, I got y'all safe. I prayed and y'all safe. I'm just going to sit back and chill. No, Paul was putting wood on the fire. And when he put that wood on the fire, guess what? Snake got on his hand. Viper. Okay? You know what we do? We walk around with a snake on us. We just walk around with a snake on us. We don't shake it off. See? No, it's just a snake. That's what they do. No, shake it off. Shake it off. Because Satan gone. When you make your best plan, Satan make his. Okay? We had the men's meeting on Friday. Guess who was there? Before me. Satan. Oh, he was there. He here now. He here now. He right here. Listen, how you know that, Pastor? Listen. Joshua the high priest. Zechariah 3 and 1. Zechariah the high priest. Excuse me. Zechariah 3 and 1. It says, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Now here's Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord, getting divine instructions. This is you on your knees in the morning, or on your knees in the afternoon, or on your knees at night. When you're on your knees, you're asking God to give me divine instructions. Okay? We need instruction. We need it from above. So we're on our knees, and here's a picture of Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. This is how the verse goes. Zechariah 3:1. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him.
Amen.
That's what he do.
Uh-huh.
That's what he do. Let the church get rolling. Let the church get growing and the church get busy and things are happening and folks' lives are being saved and marriages are being restored. You think Satan ain't going to come and show his ugly head?
Amen.
He has to. He has to because he hates God and he hates God. Jesus said he hates me. He's going to hate you. He's going to hate you. He's going to hate you. Satan is a hater. And we need to pray that God keep us alert to his schemes and devices. Peter had it good in 1 Peter 5. He says, your adversary, the devil. Your adversary, the devil. Some of y'all folks don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in the devil. He loved when you say that. Does he believe in himself? I believe in him.
Amen.
Okay? I know him. I used to work for him.
Amen.
See? I used to work for him.
Amen.
He commissioned me. Paid good. There ain't nobody getting laid off. You talking about job security. The wages of sin is death. Never changed, and it ain't like I say. The retirement plan ain't good. Listen, I know Pastor, you're talking about the devil a lot today. We need to.
Amen.
We really do. We really need to understand that he's real. We are a devil believing church. We just believe in the devil.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's keep moving. Let's talk about this daily cross, taking up your cross daily. This is touchy here for me. Because Somebody says, well, I don't understand that. What's that really mean? It really means, before I even give you the scripture, it means that God's got to be number one. God's got to be number one.
Amen.
And if God is not number one in your life, then, you know, you got troubles.
Amen.
It says, if any man will come after me. Now, this is designed. Folks, I just don't like when folks just join churches. And just join churches. That's not the design of things.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Church is for saved folks.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if you're a member here, you didn't join, and you know you ain't saved, then you know what? There's a song they sing.
Amen.
Get right to church.
Amen.
And let's go home.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus is saying, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
Yeah.
Self got to be two.
Yeah.
Because if self is number one, if self is number one, it's all about me. And we know folks like that, it's all about me.
Uh-huh.
My way or the highway.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
You know, me, myself, and I. Some people call it meology. It's like theology is all about God. Meology is all about me.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, if any man will come after me, let him or her deny himself and take up his cross daily, and follow me.
Amen.
And that word follow me, get after. This is not something light. This is something light and frivolous. This is just a serious thing. When you follow the Lord, it's serious. It's going to take you some effort and some work and some sacrifices. He puts it like this in Luke. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. See, we got churches full of folks that need permission from somebody to follow the Lord. Well, I got to ask to see if it's okay with my boyfriend if I become a Christian, or if it's okay with my wife if I follow you, or if it's okay with my kids if I follow you. Because that's just the way it goes. You know what Jesus is saying? Can I be my disciple? If your wife is your boss, or if your husband is your boss, or if your children are your boss, or your job is your boss, whatever. Jesus, I got to be number one.
Amen.
I got to be number one. You can't be my disciple. That's just the word of God. You know, Pastor, you read too much into it. That's just the word of God.
Amen.
Now, when you ask yourself, you do that self-evaluation, you know, your own time, you know, it's like when you go to Taco Bell, they give you a receipt and say, you know, if you fill that out, you can win $1,000. You fill that out on your own if you do that. I don't do that. But I know some folks do, and then they sell your name to all these telemarketers. But listen, you'll find that out. Because there has to be a daily, we talk about this daily bread, there has to be a daily searching of the scriptures. A daily searching of the scriptures. Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes. But do you have a daily time where you search the scriptures? Or you always leave it to the pastor's responsibility to search the scriptures. Listen, you have a responsibility to search the scriptures to make sure that what I'm saying is correct. This is why we have so much foolishness in the church. There's so much foolishness in the church because the people of God just whatever the pastor say, and the pastor don't know nothing. He ain't searching the scriptures. Nobody know nothing. And then our kids are going to jail, and our kids are having babies, and our kids are all kind of messed up, and nothing coming from up here. Okay? And nobody out there is saying, well, you know, we got to check this out. And this dude's saying some crazy stuff. If I was sitting where y'all sitting at, and I'm hearing what I'm saying, I'd be like, I would have me a big old folder taking notes. This dude's saying some stuff. I got to find out if that's in the Bible. He's making this stuff up. See, Paul, when he was talking to the Bereans. Now, the Thessalonican church was a quality church.
Uh-huh.
Paul said he was elect. They was called of God. They did a work of faith. They did it all. He said the word of God resonated from them. It went out into all the land. But when he started talking about the Berean church in Acts 17:11, he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So you see, some of you in here today don't have readiness of mind. Because if your Saturday was off track, and you was up all night eating microwave popcorn and watching Steph Curry and whatever you was doing all night, or then you might have been watching something else. Okay? I don't know what you was watching, but if your mind is not prepared to worship when you come into God's house, you're not going to receive from God.
Amen.
You're not going to receive from God. I'm just being real. Okay? These were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they received the word. They received the word. How? With all readiness of mind. Their mind is ready. See, some folks' mind ain't ready. I can't hear. They doing this. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Get out of here. Get out of here. Just too crazy today. No, I'm not crazy. You're not ready. Got your mind on something else. Your mind on something else.
Amen.
We getting out of here early today. Still ain't ready. Listen, they came to church with a readiness of mind. It shouldn't be hard for you. It shouldn't be hard. Everybody here know where I was going today. If you've been coming here, you know today is Matthew 6:11.
Amen.
Next week it will be Matthew 6:12. The week after that it will be Matthew 6:13. Okay, so there's no reason why. Listen, why ain't he ready? Look what they did. They not only was ready and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Folks, listen. You can search the scriptures now. You can search them later. Okay? Let me tell you something. Here's a man clothed in purple. I'm not talking about Prince. Every day. Clothed in purple. Every day. Okay? And he died. And he went to hell. He went to hell. And then in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Luke 16. Okay? Now, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, but he thought about his five brothers. He had his five brothers. Little click. Just five. Listen, if you get to hell, I hope nobody in here do. And you only have five people that you care enough about to want to send the grace of God to their house, you deserve to be where you're at. Okay? Now he's in hell. And he's worried about his five brothers that emulated him. That he molded and shaped. And they were doing the same things he was doing. Okay? See, we got followers and then we got follow.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I say be a follower of Christ, okay, that's different. I mean, you got to get after it. But there's a whole lot of folks just followers of people. Okay? And you know, and if Little Wayne piercing his nose, they piercing theirs. And if Beyonce wearing super tight mini skirt, they wearing super tight mini skirts. They just following whatever. If bell bottoms come back, they wearing bell bottoms. Followers. If all their friends is getting high, they getting high. How do you explain this? How do you explain crack cocaine and all that? That's not making me feel good. How do you explain drinking? Young folks drinking. Because they got somebody that they admire drinks. And introduce them to them. They had a cigarette smoking. Somebody they admire smoke. Listen, you see somebody you respect and admire smoking, guess what you're going to do? Smoke. Now you gotta find some folks that you admire that don't do some of them things. Well, they lames. You ain't getting high, you're square. You ain't having sex before you married, something wrong with you. You ain't having sex, and by the time you're 14, you got a problem. You still a virgin? That's funny.
Yeah.
That's a joke. What's wrong with you, boy? Get you a girl. Knock her up and leave her. Then you a man. Really? Where'd that come from? Pastor, you never. Let's talk about this rich man in hell. Because we talk about daily searching the scriptures. Now watch what happens here. And Luke 30, this conversation gets interesting because he said, here I have five brothers that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into a place like this. And he's talking about a prayer meeting in hell. He's in hell and he's praying that they would hear God's word. Let me tell you something, folks. I've said this before. If you heard it before, bear with me. But everybody, every one of us in here knows somebody that's in hell. Okay?
Amen.
And you know what? If that person is in hell, you know what they're doing? They praying right now that you would hear God's word and not come to hell.
Amen.
They are praying for you right now in hell. They are praying for you out of the pits of hell that you would come to your senses. They saying, Pastor Neil, preach it hard at them. Don't let them off the hook. They can't come here. I love them too much. Nobody wants your worst enemy. In hell, I don't want you in hell. And they said, preach it, Pastor. Don't let them off the hook. Don't let my baby sister. Don't let my cousin. Don't let my auntie. Don't let my niece or whatever. And Jesus, the person of Abraham, said this. He said this. He says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Let me tell you something, folks. What I'm preaching up here, what I expect all these men to preach, when they preach, they're preaching Moses and the prophets.
Amen.
They're preaching it. They're preaching it. They're preaching it. Because you have to hear it.
Amen.
You have to hear it. You have to hear it. When Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, he knew they knew. He knew they knew. They knew the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. They knew that the scriptures talked about Jesus. And they were trying to deny Jesus. And Jesus said to them, y'all, I said it Wednesday, Jesus was radical. He was bad. He was a rough dude. He was tough. Don't let nobody give y'all this picture of Jesus all milk toast and wimpy smiling all the time. Jesus was bad. He was tough. He was rugged. That's why they killed him. They ain't killed no sissies. They'll crucify compromisers. Yeah, I know y'all heard about me, but don't worry about that Old Testament. Don't mean nothing. No. 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 That's what Jesus said to these Pharisees. Imagine being there. He says, search the scriptures. John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures. Telling them in their face. I can see them in their face. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Of me. That's bad. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I know that. Ain't no candidate talking that stuff.
Amen.
I'm a Christian, but I don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, you're not a Christian. I know what you are, but you're not a Christian if you don't believe Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Can't be a Christian if you don't believe John 3:16. You can't be a Christian if you don't believe John 14:6. You can't be a Christian if you don't believe John 5:39. You can't. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. You stand before God. He asked you about the Son. Is he the only way to heaven? Well, there's a lot of ways to heaven. There's many roads to heaven. There's 100 roads to heaven. And you say, you know what? Depart from me. You workers of iniquity. You sinner. You don't know my Son. You don't know my Son.
Amen.
Do you know his Son? I feel like I'm there. Do you know his Son? Do you know Jesus Christ on this day.
Amen.
This day. Let me share this last thought with you and I'm going to close. It's in Hebrews 3. It talks about something else we should do daily. And believe me, I need it. I called Jake yesterday and he could text me back. I was hurt. I needed a daily exhortation. So, Hebrews 3:13 says this. Claire over there said, well, you didn't call me and I was hurt. See? I'm feeling stuff. I'm in my feelings, as the young people say. Man, you are here. You stay in your feelings. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily. Daily. Don't it feel good? Seriously, get a call from a brother in Christ. Don't it feel good? Get a call. Or just to go out and be with somebody. You can talk about things that go. I had a coupon. It was running out on me. Me and Columbus went to Bogey's on Friday night. They good. Talk about things of God the whole time.
Amen.
Prayed. And I mean, just had a good time. Just exhort one another. You know, just lifting each other up. Folks need lifting up. And Paul, the writer of Hebrews, knew that. He said, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today. What Paul saying? Because tomorrow not guaranteed.
Right, right.
You know, call your loved one up and tell them you love them. Tell them you're praying for them. Ask them if there's anything they need prayer about. How's your parents doing this? How's your cousins doing? How's your loved ones doing? How you doing in your marriage? How you doing in at your job? Whatever, you don't know. Folks going through. We in a land of people going through. We really are. Paul says, exhort one another daily. Why? Why it is called today. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay?
Yeah.
Serious, that's serious. Because sin has deceived you. Next thing you know, you ain't talking to nobody for months. Next thing you know, you done backed away from the church. You done backed away from being a part of different things. You know, exhort one another daily. Then he says this in Hebrews 10:25. I get ready to close. He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some folks don't have problems with church. Some folks don't have problems with church. I have problems with church.
Amen.
I really do.
Amen.
You know, because I remember back in the day when I was going to the gym. I'd make them open the gym for me. If I was getting ready to compete and done a show or something, I'd make them open the gym for me on Christmas Day. They would come in and open the door for me. And Christmas, Easter, it didn't matter. And then when I was golfing, it didn't matter. It'd be 100 degrees out there. It didn't matter. I was swinging new clubs. Then we come to church. And we ain't any old excuse. My hair, I had a bad hair day. You know? My mustache got too much gray in it today. See y'all on Fifth Sunday. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's key. That's key. Fight your way to church. I'm telling you, fight your way to church. Fight your way to church. Fight your way to Sunday school. Fight your way to Wednesday night Bible study. Not forsaking ourselves together. It's going to be hard. It's painful. It's sometimes troublesome. But you know what? Soccer field's full. All the soccer field's full. You know, I watched some young boys, they were there playing football on Liberty, and listen, their parents was getting them to practice. 8 o'clock in the morning. And wasn't none of them late. And I'm sitting here, you know, I'm just jealous. I'm in my feelings. I'm all in my feelings. I'm sitting out there like, look at these folks. Sitting, no word I would use. I'll tell you later, Dave. I said, look at these folks. Ain't not one kid late. Every one of them here, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And no, that's Saturday. And And you got two people, none today in Sunday school. Okay.
Amen.
Pastor.
Yeah.
Listen. There's a lot of bread out there, folks. A lot of bad bread out there. Okay, there's a lot of bad bread out there. You got to make sure you're getting your daily bread. Daily bread. Word of God talks about the bread of the evil eye. Talks about the bread of life. Talks about the bread of sincerity and truth. It talks about the bread of mourners. Talks about the bread of man. There's a lot of that out there. Bread of man. Folks like that bread. Must be like that cheese bread. The bread of man. That's that bread I like. That cheese bread. I can't pronounce the word of it. Savior or something. I don't know. I'll mess it all up. Somebody will correct me. You know, it starts with A, like Asian bread or something. Listen. I say God. Who said that? That New York boy? I know. That's what they eat up in New York. They eat bagels up in New York. In Trump Towers. You got the bread of adversity. Some folks eating that. Some folks got a refrigerator full of bread of adversity. Man, I love that bread of adversity. That's all they want to eat. Troublemakers. Bread of adversity. How about the bread of wickedness? All them breads. Folks, what kind of bread are you eating? Get your daily bread. Get enough bread to get you through. Get you through. Now, I can say this, and I thank God. I see tremendous growth. Folks will say, well, your church ain't growing. That's what it is. I'm going to tell you something. It's growing. It's growing. You know, all I got to do is get on Margaret's nerves, and Margaret don't flare up like she used to. I'm like, girl, you're growing. Margaret growing. I'm like, but she ain't getting taller. But her heart, I'm seeing some different things coming out of her. Talk to her on the phone. Thank you, Jesus, because the church is growing. Church is growing. Matthew's growing. Y'all remember Matthew? Matthew? When I came here, Matthew was nice singing and preaching. See, we don't like see all that. You know, we don't see, you know, church is growing, it's full. Listen, let me tell you something. Somebody told me this. You go to the doctor, and he said, that tumor is growing. You don't, hallelujah, tumor growing. They got quiet growth. We got enough men in here, we can preach every Friday. And they want to preach. Because church is growing. And we can do seven things at the cross, and we can use it. It's just the men of this church. Church is growing. Men are growing. So, y'all, make sure you eat the right kind of bread. The bread of God. Father, thank you. Thank you.